Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much as we come humbly before your word, and help us to receive it and to realize that there's nothing in ourselves, that we can do nothing without Christ, but with him we can do all things. And Lord, as we see people try and boast about who they are and what they've done and how talented and smart and gifted they are, that we realize that you are supreme, and that anything we have came from you, and that if we boast, it's foolishness. The world understands that boasting. But Lord, we know in the end it's futile. And we pray, Lord, that we would be boasting only in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in that portion of 2 Corinthians where Paul is defending his apostleship. And I'll go over again why. It's Peter's fault. Everything's Peter's fault, you know. In Acts chapter 1, God had told them, Jesus had told them, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Just wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes. And Peter, he got in there, and there's their upper room, and he looks at the apostles, and there's 11, and there's supposed to be 12, and it looked like there was a missing spot. And Peter takes it upon himself to misinterpret Scripture. We went over that when we went in the book of Acts. And nominate someone to fill Judas's spot. And so they drew lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and Matthias was numbered with the 12, and you never hear from him again. See, because God didn't want Matthias as an apostle. God didn't tell Peter without the Holy Spirit to be nominating apostles. Spirit didn't fall till Acts chapter 2. And so God had his own apostle picked up, and in Acts chapter 9 we see it. And so Paul was called by Jesus himself. Remember, there are only 12 apostles. The book of Revelation shows that. There's only 12 foundation stones on the holy city, each one named after an apostle. There weren't 13 apostles. And so here we have Paul, God's chosen apostle, who for the rest of his life had to always defend his apostleship. He had to always say, but I am an apostle. No, because Matthias is here. Now, that made it harder on Paul. But after that happened, other people started coming saying, well, I'm an apostle too. And you even see that today. People who title themselves apostles say, no, there's not only 12, there's not only 13, there's a whole bunch more. And we're apostles because this, that, and the other. And even today, people are calling themselves apostles, and Paul says no. Now, these apostles, most of them, were coming in with false teachings. And so Paul, as he said, as we read in the passage today, in chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, he says, in verse 13, I mean, in 14, for those are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, verse 15, it is no great thing that his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now, verse 13 says these are workers. These people were doing things and boasting of the things that they were doing. Now, Paul knew that this boasting was foolish. But see, people always boast. We have a president right now that just loves to boast about how bigly everything is. No, he's tremendous because it's him. Now, you know, you might like or you might not like the things he's doing, but the boasting is there. Some people like to just toot their horn because it makes them look big. And these apostles were tooting their horn. And now Paul says, all right, you guys, you're going to toot your horn. I'm going to toot mine. He says, it's foolish. It's a dumb thing to do. But here's the thing. They were boasting basically of three things, and you can tell what they were boasting about by what Paul says he's going to boast about. Because Paul says, I'm going to do the same thing that these guys are doing. He says, you put up with these fools. If you read down in verse 16, I say it again, that no one think me a fool. Or else, if you receive me as a fool, that I may boast a little. What I speak, notice what he says, I speak not according to the Lord. He says, this is not the way the Lord would usually do it. But since you're receiving these kind of jerks, I'm going to be the same kind of jerkiness right now. I'm going to show you that even on their terms, I can beat them at their own game. He says that you receive fools here, I'm going to be a fool. And he talks about their boasting and his boasting. He says in the, I speak verse 17, foolishness and the confidence of boasting. Seeing as that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast, for you put up with fools gladly. Verse 19, since you yourselves are wise. And you know, you see the sarcasm is just dripping. You know, it's hard to do sarcasm in writing. It hardly ever gets seen. I see it on Facebook all the time. People try and be sarcastic and everybody thinks, oh, he's serious. No, he's being a sarcastic one. No, but Paul, I mean, he's talking in a letter, so this is what he's got to do. And these are legalists. These are people who are boasting in their works, in what they do. And they boast on three things. One, they boast of their heritage. So Paul's going to do the same thing. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. See, they were all coming in because, see, there was a group in the church, and the book of Acts talks about it in Acts chapter 15. They came in and said, in order to be saved, you've got to become first a Jew and then a Jew who accepts his Messiah. So if you're a male, you got to get yourself circumcised and you got to be a Jew and you got to do all the Jewish things. Forget all the bacon and shrimp and all those kind of things. You got to worship on Saturday and you've got to do all the feasts and all these things. And because you have to become a Jew and then you got to accept Christ too. And if you don't do both, you can't be saved. And Paul says, you know, if you're going to boast in your Judaism, I'm a Jew. I was already there. I'm a son of Abraham. I'm a Hebrew. In fact, in the book of Philippians, he goes even further. And he says, all those things I count as rubbish. He says, my heritage really doesn't matter. I've got it. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee, Paul said. According to the law in Philippians, he says, I'm blameless. He says, I lived that life. And I realized it still was no good. But if you want to boast about it, here I am that. But notice he only spends one line on it. So it really doesn't matter. So they boast on their heritage. They boast on their works. Look what I've done. I've gone out and I've started churches and I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other. Look at my ministry. You know, and we don't have a ministry apart from Christ. If Jesus isn't working in the people we talk to, they're following you. You can follow me all you want. And all you'll end up in the end is lost. You ever seen a car, you know, that they're going somewhere? And I say, I'll follow you, and I'll follow you, and I'll follow you. The car in the lead doesn't know where he's going. So, you know, they all go in, and they've got their, they make a turn here, and make a turn there. I remember one time we were going from La Jaiba to church with May's mom and dad, and Angie was in the car with May, with May's parents, and I was in with May's mom, and I was in the car with May's dad, and because neither of them know where the church was. So Angie and May's mom are going, and they're just talking a storm and going down Nolana, and they go past Nolana and past where, and you know, it's like they're just talking, and
we were talking too, and so we pass where and just keep going, and then both of us realized, both cars realized, we both missed the street. We're following the women who were talking, and we're talking, we all missed the street. And you could turn around and come up the, you know, follow the leader, the blind leading the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. And that's why I work. You know, it's like the Jehovah's Witnesses who come to my door sometimes and they say, well, you know, look at all the things we're doing. We go door to door and we hand out all these little pamphlets and we give you these magazines and we do all this stuff. But the trouble is, their doctrine is not biblical. You can work and work and work and work and work and work and work your way into hell. And so they're boasting on all the things they do. But Paul says, even here, just wait, I've got you beat. And then they boast of their gifts. If you go back to verse 6 of chapter 11, Paul has to say, even though I'm untrained in speech, not in knowledge. Well, if he's saying he's untrained in speech, it means those who are against him were pulling back. Like, we can speak. But Paul, he's got a sort of hickey, you know. He comes from the deep south somewhere. Doesn't speak very good. But we do. I mean, we're orators. We come out and we can preach a big sermon. We can do all these things. We are the intelligentsia. We are the educated ones. We are the ones who know what we're doing. We work. We've got the gifts. We've got the talents. Paul! Now, Paul was pretty trained, but you can't train good speaking into people sometimes. And Paul was never a good speaker, at least according to all accounts. But you don't have to be a good speaker to give the word of God. And that's a wonderful thing. Because God honors his word, not the floweriness of the one preaching it. So people, and even today, just about everywhere, you see it in politics, you see it in business, you see it in the churches, you see it everywhere. People who boast of their heritage, whether it be racial or family, or other things. People boasting of the things they've done. I've been this, I've done that, I've done the other. And people boasting of their gifts. I'm intelligent, I'm talented, I can dribble a ball, therefore I should be listened to. God says, your gifts, who did they come from? They're gifts, right? Gifts mean they were what?
Given.
Someone gave them. Your works. Ephesians 2:7 says, God prepared your works ahead of time that you ain't walk in them. Your heritage. So you're Jewish. You know what? If you were born Mexican, did you do anything to be born Mexican? Who chose? Okay, I want to be born Mexican. I want to be born Puerto Rican. I want to be born white. I want to be born black. I want to be born Jewish. We had nothing to do with the heritage we came from. We popped out. That's all we did. And that's just because she pushed us out. We would have rather stayed, probably. And so what does it have to do with you, what your heritage is? Oh, you know, I'm born of royal blood or noble blood or rich blood or whatever. And that makes you better how? And so Paul says, all right, you want to boast here? I got all these characters. I got it all down. But he argues. He says, I'm arguing foolishly. I'm arguing carnally because this is what you understand. He says, I'm coming down to your level. This is what you tolerate, verses 18 through 20, which we've read. He says, you put up, verse 19, with fools gladly because you yourself are wise. He says, this is the fleshly way. This is not the godly way. Verses 17 and 18, I don't speak this according to the Lord. I'm speaking foolishly with the confidence of boasting because you
think it's wisdom. And the world thinks it's wisdom. And the churches, unfortunately, have followed the world in this. I mean, you watch these elections. You watch these political elections. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, and this. They all do the same thing, don't they? They come out and they talk about how gifted they are and how much they've done. And some of the things they've done, I don't care to even mention, but they come out and they tout their stuff. They come out, you know, they always come out. And the businesses too. You start doing resumes, you know. Ever done resume? Everybody makes their resume and it always looks so good. And then you hire the jerk, you know. And everybody puts their gifts forward and puts... This is the way the world works. We boast on those things which we're good at. And we use them as a platform. And they are a platform. That's why God gave us the gifts, but they're not yours. And so we need to understand that these people who were boasting in their works and everything were trying to put the church in bondage because they're trying to force you to follow the same road they followed and make your works and your reputation and your heritage the basis for your spirituality. See, Christian theology says, I'm nothing apart from Christ. That Christ died for me because I was a what?
Sinner.
A sinner. See, you even hear it in worship songs today, you know, that Christ... You know, I'm a treasure because Christ was willing to die for me. No, Christ died for me to make me something. Amazing Grace, the hymn Amazing Grace has it much more accurately, right? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wonderful, lovable treasure like me. No, that saved a... wretch like me. Or the other song, for such a worm as I. See, that's the biblical picture. We are rebels against God. We said, God, forget your rules, forget your law. I'm going against you. And even so, Christ came down and loved us. He chose to love us. And so he gave us salvation by grace. He says, you don't have to work for it. I died on the cross to pay for it. You don't have to do anything of yourself. All you have to do is receive by faith that gift which I gave you. And anything you do good, we do through the power of Christ. Isaiah 64, 6 says, all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But through Christ, we have the power. But see, we think we can make ourselves holy by working hard. That's what these people are teaching. You've got to do this. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to stop eating the pork and the bacon and the shrimp. You've got to have the feasts. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. If you don't do that, you're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to be right before God. Now, are works important?
Yes.
Definitely they're important. Should Christians be doing good works? That's what Ephesians 2:10 says. But we put the cart before the horse. See, a Christian, a true believer, does good works because he's already a saint and a holy one and a child of God. The world says, and every other religion in the world says, you get to be holy by the works you do. And that's what these apostles were trying to teach. And I've had pastors, when I come and tell them, you know, the Bible teaches that once you trust Christ as your Savior, you're saved, period. You can't lose it. And they say, if I teach that, my congregation is going to start sinning because they think they've got the freedom. They don't realize that until they trust Christ, they don't have the power. And so grace makes you a better worker than those who don't have it. And so that's what Paul's about to show them. But he tells them, he says, you all look for those who are going to put you in bondage. Chapter 11, verse 20.
He says, to your shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But whenever anyone is bold, I speak. Oh, that's 21. Now my eyes are getting tweaked. But you put up with if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face. You go to so many churches, and the pastor just whips those poor people in that congregation, and they take it. Brother Juan was telling me a church he used to go at where if you weren't tithing, the pastor called you into the office and checked. It's like the IRS, you know. You got to fill out your church W-2 and make sure you're giving your 10%. If you don't, they're going to call you into the office. They're going to read you the Riot Act. And the church is there every, you know, and they give lists. I didn't know a church that says, this is a list of the songs you can listen to. And this is a list of the places you can go. And you can't go to any restaurant that has any thing that has to do with liquor in its name. You know, there was a restaurant in San Antonio at that time called Steak and Ale. You can't go to Steak and Ale, you know, because it says ale. And you can't go to, you know, something that mentions wine or, you know, something like that. Or anything that says bar and grill. You know, but I'm only going to the grill part, Pastor. I'm not going to the bar part. Didn't matter. It says bar in the name, and that's just, you can't do that. And you can't go to a movie theater because they're, you know, it used to be they're only showing one movie at a time, but now they're showing 15, and some of them are R-rated, and people might think you're going to the other one. I know you're going to see The Incredibles, but they might think you're going to see, you know, some bad, nasty R-rated film. And they have all these lists of things that people do, and people stay there. And they let some guy dictate the fact that they can't, that it's okay to enjoy a steak at Roadhouse because Roadhouse doesn't mention liquor. But if you have the same steak at Steak and Ale, you're sinning, boy. And so they put them, so people go to these churches because they feel holy because they're doing all these things. Their friends want to go to the bar and grill place and, no, look, I can't go to that place because I'm better than you. Having the same dumb steak. And we put up with it because it makes us feel good that we are doing all these things. I'm sacrificing the fact that I can't go to the bar and grill. I'm doing it for God. And you see people in their testimonies. It just cracks me up sometimes. These people come and they give their testimonies. And they say, before I trusted Christ, I was into rock and roll. And I had all the women and I had the fast cars. And I was doing all this drinking and smoking and, you know, all this other stuff. And I gave it all up for Christ. And they almost feel like, oh, poor guy. You know, because there's some self-exalting stuff is how much I've sacrificed for my Lord. And it's foolishness. Because God is greater in joy and pleasure. He's the one, Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence are what? Fullness of joy, in his right hand, pleasures forevermore. I didn't give up anything when I came to Christ. Who made every pleasure that you've ever experienced? But oh, we don't look so holy. And we like looking holy. That's why the Pharisees, when they wore their prayer things, they had bigger borders around their garments and longer tassels and a sadder face when they fasted. Because we make our sacrifice and bondage a virtue to the point where in the Philippines, every Easter, there's those flagelantes that crucify themselves every Good Friday. They hang on a cross. They've already got holes in their wrists that are scarred like your earring holes. They don't even bleed anymore because they got holes. Every year they put the nails back in the same hole and they hang there. That still hurts. I'm holy because I crucified myself.
think Christ, who took that for us, thinks it's something good that the children for whom he died think they have to do that? Would I want my children to do that? But we take these bondages on ourselves because it makes us feel good. So Paul goes on and he wants to talk about the power of grace. He says, you know, I want to tell you a little about my life. And he goes on and he talks about what he's been through. And when you read the passages, 25 through 27 in chapter 11. Well, let's go back even further. Let's go up to 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes beyond measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I've received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was... This guy should better stay off boats. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness and hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul says, you guys think you work? I want you to see what... Now, see, the thing is, notice that in all this, Paul has not said a thing about what he did. He's just saying the things that happened to him. Like I said, Paul has to staff, and Paul had not yet had his other, which we see in Acts. So Paul ended up a fourth shipwreck. Paul needs to staff boats. He and Jonah, you know, it's like... But... He was beaten, he was stoned, he was 5 times. Can you imagine that 40 stripes minus 1? Grab those whips across your back 40 times. He went through that 5 times, and then he beat him with rods 3 times, and they stoned him almost to death. He says these are the things that... He didn't notice, he doesn't say anything here about what he did. He just say, wherever I went, people tried to... mess me over. Robbers tried to mess me over. Gentiles tried to mess me over. False brethren tried to mess me over. Everybody tried to mess me over. But I made it through. First of all, he talked about his heritage, right? We already saw that. One line he spent on his heritage. Yeah, I'm a Jew. Yeah, I'm a child of Abraham. Because in Philippians chapter 3, he says all those things I kind of but rubbish. Doesn't really matter what we are. You know, I'm looking at this political election right now, Senate election. And it's just so ironic to me that we have an Irishman named Beto going against a Cuban named Ted. You know, and the Irishman named Beto is trying to show he's Hispanic, and the Cuban named Ted, I don't know what he's trying to show himself as. But I made a little meme and I put it on Facebook. You know, Obama's more Irish than Beto is Hispanic. And so, you know, we all put this thing of, you know, what does it matter what we are? Where we were born. He says, that's rubbish. But God has brought me through these things. He says, here I am, standing before you. My back is covered with scars. I stoop over. I don't want to see another deck of a boat. But if I go on the roads, there's robbers. And there's Gentiles and there's Jews. Remember what the Jews later tried to do. These guys, the Jewish leaders who were against him because he turned down their Phariseeism. They made a vow in the last part of the book of Acts. They said, we're not going to eat until we kill Paul. How many of them do you think kept that vow? Mm-hmm. You know, after like 4 days, it's like, all right, plan two, plan B. But Paul says, you know, grace. God brought me through. And a lot of times it looked like God wouldn't. You know, when they take you out to stone you to death, it's usually the end. When they take you out and whip you like that, when they take you out and do those things, when you're a night and a day in the deep, in the ocean, in those days without any GPS or helicopters or any of those things, it's usually the end. But God brought me through. And so Paul says, I want you to see. Now, the other thing I want you to notice, in the same book of 2 Corinthians, back in chapter 4 and verse 11, is what Paul considered these things. In the same letter, he had already told these people in chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, for light affliction, our what? Light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, if these afflictions that Paul went through were considered light, what are we complaining about? You know, because a lot of us complain, don't we? Oh, God, you've let me down. I didn't eat yesterday. I got rejected by someone at work when I tried to give him the gospel. Did they stone you? No. Did they whip you? No. Did they stick you on a boat and sink it? No. Oh, but I'm persecuted for Christ. Paul cataloged this and called it a light affliction. It's only light for one reason. He's got God who's taking that affliction and turning it into an eternal weight of glory. What you go through today, whether it be in your marriage, or in your work, or in your home, or in your church, if you take it and say, God, you make something out of this, God will make it into something glorious. And it'll last forever. And you won't boast about what you did, you'll boast about what God brought you through. Because in the end, none of this was under Paul's control. Paul didn't complain. Paul didn't play the victim. Paul said, I'm such a wonderful person. Why am I going through all this? He says, these are light afflictions that work in eternal weight of glory. And then he pointed to the last thing. He says, guys, when you see someone boast, ask yourself, what's he concerned about? And usually they're concerned about how they are seen. Look at me. So, you know, when I was back in San Antonio, my first car, I've been privileged to have two of the 10 worst cars that have ever been built. It's two of the cars that I have home. First was a Gremlin. I had a Gremlin. And you all remember, some of you remember the Gremlin. And then I had a Yugo. So I've had two of the 10 worst cars that have ever been built. And on the Yugo, Mr. Bratton, who was here last night at the wedding, who made our cross, he's a sign man, and he made a little sign to put on the back of the Yugo. It said, The Rev. There's little white letters that said The Rev. It was in the back window. Now, you cannot take seriously a Yugo that says The Rev. And that's the point. Yeah, I don't care. The title, The Rev. You know, I was like, on a Yugo. But I loved it because who's going to take that with any gravitas? No, because the titles are just, yeah, I don't care. I hate that title, Reverend, anyway. Paul says, no, my concern, he says at the end of this, my concern in verse 28, besides the other thing, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. See, Paul didn't care what they said about him. Paul only cared for the growth of the churches. He says, I'm doing all this foolish boasting of the things that happened to me, but above all that,
What comes upon me daily is my concern for you. The rest of this is foolishness. And we need to look at that. When someone does something, whether it be giving or preaching or that, I need to ask myself, why am I doing this? Am I doing this so that people can look and say, oh, that man is a preacher? Or am I doing that because I'm concerned that my people know the truth? When I do and I give, am I wanting people to look at me and make me a philanthropist? Or do I give because people have needs? When I share the gospel, do I want it because, oh, look at the evangelist he is? Or do I do it because people need to trust Christ? And Paul wants them to check themselves and wants these false leaders to check themselves. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it to build up your name? Is it to build up your marquee? Is it to build up your brand? Or is it, Paul says, like me, because I've gone through all this out of concern for the churches. And we all need to judge ourselves that way. I can't judge you that way. But I need to judge myself. Why do you do what you do? When you come to church, when you study your Bible, when you pray, is it so that people can see you? Christ talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll finish with that. Jesus says, when you pray, don't get up and make these big, marvelous prayers so that people, oh, look how he prays. Do not be praying to be seen of men. Do not be fasting to be seen of, oh, look at him, he's fasting. He must be because his face is like, oh. Do not sound a trumpet when you're giving. Look how much I give. If you give, pray, fast to be seen of men, and you're seen of men, what does Christ say? You've got your reward. You wanted to be seen of men? You were seen of men? There you go. You got what you came for. Now leave. If you're preaching to be seen of men, you'd be seen of men? Now leave. But are you preaching because there's love? Have you chosen to pour yourself out of love for Christ and those that he loves? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you died for us to make us holy. And we pray, Lord, that in all of this, we would look only to you and not to ourselves. And we pray, Lord, that what we would do to honor you and you only. And we pray this in Jesus' name.